Well, Pastor Aki is gone, as you know, this month and October. We have Pastor Tom will be speaking several times, but we also have some guest speakers. And I think it's the end of each month. John Heine from the U of A Navigators program. He's a staff member there for many, many years. He's been a supporter and friend of our church also for many years. And he's spoken here before. As we saw before, he asked that people try to sit close. I think he'd done a good job. And he's going to be using the board, I believe, to speak. So without further ado, John, if you could come to the front.
Sorry.
And present.
Yeah, I got to say something.
Oh okay. Tom also has something to say.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. All right, you guys. Apologies. John just informed me, we didn't get the word, we in the leadership, he needed an hour today for his teaching, and I asked him if he could maybe make it to 12:15. I'm going to ask you for, give us some mercy, some grace, so at least he'd get into it, or maybe those of you who are setting up for the potluck could do that, you could finish up, I don't know, you guys, all I'm saying is, we didn't know. If we had known that, I wouldn't have talked as much as I did. So my apologies to John. And do you pronounce your last name?
Heine. Rhymes with China.
Rhymes with China. Thank you. I'm done.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
What?
Okay. Somehow this verse did not get read, so I'm going to read it. I don't think anybody read it, right? Okay, so in Psalm 25, 12 to 13, in the back of your bulletin, it says, "Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land." And can somebody read that in chapter?
その人の魂は幸せの中に住み、その子孫は地を受け継ごう。
Wow, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it?
Yes.
Prosperity? Ooh, I like that. Do you guys like prosperity?
Yes.
Okay, here's the question. Okay, can you pass this down? Okay, so the topic is right here. And you know this board, I just bought it, and this is as high as it goes. I think it's made for pygmies or something. By the way, one of my favorite people on the whole planet is here today. Reiko Yoshitani. She is an amazing person. I wish I could disciple one woman who had half the heart for the lost that she had. I'm telling you, she has been a model for me for many, many years. Okay, so anyhow, here's the topic. See if you agree with this. Kind of agree with this, okay? It is hard for me to trust God when I don't know what God has promised me. Or, it is hard for me to obey God when I don't know what God has commanded me. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yes.
Kind of? Okay. If you don't say, okay. Okay, let's pray real quick, okay? Jesus, we thank you for this chance to be together and to study your word. But we thank you most of all that you're here with us, as you promised you would be. And we ask you to guide our thoughts and our words so that when we leave today, we know that you've spoken to us. We thank you. Amen. Okay, I need to get one of those. Woo-hoo. Ooh, I went last night and made some more, and I'm glad I did. I want to thank Phil and Kamal for all their hard work. I've caused them so much trouble. And you too. Make you guys all sit here. But I have to see you, and you have to be able to hear me. I don't speak very loud. And you have to be able to see this board sometimes. Okay. Now, maybe we don't need this Bible study. Maybe we can go eat right now. Is the food ready? Yeah. No Bible study, okay? So we're going to take a little test to see if we need this Bible study or not, okay? By the way, if you're in the ISF, you can't answer these questions, okay? So they've already had this Bible study, most of them. Okay. So I'm going to read at the top. It says, in this study, when we use the word law or look up passages with that word in it, Okay, I'm looking at the has eight questions, okay? It will usually mean the Mosaic Law, which is made up of the 613 laws that God gave to Moses for the Jewish people. 613 laws. Justin Taylor summarizes in the Gospel Coalition this idea by saying, in the New Testament, as we saw in the Old Testament, the term law most often refers to what is commanded in the Mosaic Law. So when I use that word law, that's what I mean today. Those 613 laws. And you know that the first 10 of them as the 10 commandments, okay? So here's some questions. Now, you have to vote. So if you're not in ISF, you have to vote. Everybody has to vote, okay? Okay, number one, in the Old Testament, financial prosperity was promised to the nation of Israel for obedience. We just saw it, right? We just saw it. We just read it in Japanese and English, okay? A, in the New Testament, is financial prosperity promised to Christians for obedience? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Now, a lot of people don't say. Okay, you have to vote, okay? Okay, let's try B. This is a participation thing here. I'm not going to lecture. I don't know how Aki and Tom do that. I couldn't talk. Well, maybe I could talk for an hour, but you wouldn't be interested. Okay. B. Does the New Testament view financial prosperity as a blessing? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Ah, how many people don't know? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, number two. By the way, did you like the size of that print? Isn't that nice?
Yes.
That's for old people like me. Does the church building that Christians use today, like this church building, does it correspond to the tabernacle mentioned in the Old Testament law and used by the Jewish people, which later became the temple? So does this building or any church building kind of correspond to the Old Testament temple? Okay? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Wow, you guys are on a roll here. Okay, number three. Christian armies left Europe to regain land for God during the Crusades. Is it possible to justify these actions from the Bible? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Wow. Stephen, you get extra ice cream today, okay? You know, in Chinese they say, generally, it means truth is always in the hands of the minority, okay? So even though he's the only one who raised his hand, he could be right. He is right. Okay, during the Inquisition, the Roman Catholic Church killed people that didn't agree with their interpretation of the Bible. John Calvin had Michael Servetus and many others killed for the same reason. Is it possible to justify these actions from the Bible? How many people say yes? How many? Mike? Stephen? Rachel? Yeah. Good. How many people say no? Okay. The majority is usually wrong. Okay. Number five. Do Christians have to obey the Ten Commandments? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Okay, let's do this again. We need a little more participation, okay? Do Christians have to obey the Ten Commandments? Don't lie, don't steal, okay, all that stuff. Don't covet your neighbors, whatever, okay? How many people say yes, we have to keep the Ten Commandments? How many people say no, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments? Okay.
Too hard.
It's too hard, right? Well, it's not going to get easier, okay? Now, we talk about the tithe in a kind of an unusual way, but tithe in the Old Testament really means give one-tenth, okay? Now, do Christians have to tithe? Do they have to give one-tenth of their income to God? How many people say yes? Okay? How many people say no? Okay. How many do we need to spy? You guys don't even agree with each other. I think we need to study. Okay, number seven. Is it morally okay for a Christian to get a tattoo? Okay. In other words, okay, you know, in Leviticus 19, you probably have read it, it says, don't get a tattoo, basically. Okay, so how about us who follow Jesus? Can I get a tattoo? A little cross over here, Galatians 2:20 on the back. How many people say it's morally okay to get a tattoo? How many people say no? Okay, you guys, we really, I think we need 2 hours for this study. So we're going to eat at 3, okay? Okay, number 8. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? How do you say Sabbath in Japanese?
Ansokuji.
I knew that. I forgot it. Okay, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Okay. Boy. Okay, A, B. Do Christians have to meet on the first day of the week? How many people say yes? How many people say no? Okay. Well, I would say we need to do this Bible study. Okay, so let's get started. Okay. Tamal, thank you so much for the books. Okay, we need to pass these out. I don't know how to do that. They can pass. Wait. Sorry. Keep those. Give me those back. I made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Don't look at those. If you do, your eyes will cloud over. Okay, sorry. It's on the back of here. Okay. Okay, now here's two charts, okay? Or one chart with two columns, okay? Now on this side over here, it says things like Old Testament, Nation of Israel, and the Law, okay? And then it says commands and promises, okay? On this side, and these promises, by the way, only have to do with this earth. They're called temporal promises. On this side, it says over here, New Testament, individual followers of Christ and grace. Okay. Now over here, on your left side, it says what? 10 commandments. Okay, that's a command. Defeat enemies. This is a promise to the Jew. The weather will bless them. It's favorable weather. Blessings on the children. Blessings on the home. Blessings on agriculture. Okay. National superiority. God promised to make the nation of Israel superior. Okay. Financial prosperity, yeah. Do we like that? Okay. Descendants will inherit the land. Your children will own what you own now. Okay. Peace. Now, do you think this peace on this column is inner peace or outer peace? I mean, outer peace means peace with your enemies and everybody else. And or do you think it's both? What do you think? Inner, outer, or both?
Both.
Okay, it must be an engineer's turn to tell the truth here. Okay. Okay.
Lawyers.
Good things. Yeah, good thing. Okay, tithe, that's a command. Okay. Keep the Sabbath. Okay. From sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Okay. Leave crops at the edge of the field. Okay. The law of gleaning. No tattoos. Okay? And no pork. Now, do you guys like this? I mean, pretty much, except for the pork thing, okay? Do you guys like this? Do we like this or not? You know, like Facebook, you can like, right? Do you like this or not? How many people like this column?
Yeah, it's all pretty positive.
Yeah. How many people don't like this?
Compared to the right column, I like the left.
Oh yeah. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. Okay, he's ahead of me. Okay, now we're over here with people who follow Jesus. Okay, commands and promises. No permanent place to live. Now, usually, I go through all these verses. Okay, but we just don't have time. We only have 2 hours. Okay.
Yes.
Jesus said, "Give up everything." Right.
Yes.
Give up everything. Okay. He said, "The world will hate you."
Yes.
And he promised peace. But what kind of peace? Inner peace?
Inner.
Outer peace? Or both?
Inner peace?
Not outer peace? Not both? Okay, inner peace. Right, good. Okay, trouble, persecution, suffering, hardship. All these are promised to you if you're a follower of Jesus. Okay? It's a promise. Okay? Okay? And don't be angry without cause. Now, of course, not saying that Jews could be angry without cause, but give generously. Okay? Don't lust. Okay? Don't lust. Love your enemies. How about that?
Yes.
And no food is unclean. You can eat pork. Okay, now, how many people like this side? Persecution, suffering? Stephen? Are you crazy? If you like this side, you've got to have some courage or be completely crazy. Which are you?
Okay. Hey, John.
Hey.
No permanent place to live, though in the New Testament it does talk about a blessing in this world for things that you give up. Houses and lands and so forth. So, to me, there's like a little question mark.
Okay, Jesus said to someone who approached him one time, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What does that mean? If you look in most commentaries, Jesus is saying you will not, you may not have a permanent place to live. That's why I'm saying that. Okay. Okay, now. Okay, so do you guys like this side on the left or this side on the right? You like persecution and suffering or defeat your enemies and financial prosperity? Left or right? Okay, you like this side or this side?
Right.
Right? Ah. I think most people, don't you want to defeat your enemies? You want your enemies to defeat you? You don't want to be rich? You're confusing me. Most people I teach say they like the left side. I like the left side. My country's going to stomp those guys. They're going to win. Okay, those guys are going to lose. Okay, now, would you say, okay, now the Bible study's starting, and we're only gone 20 minutes. Okay, now the time for the Bible study to start. Okay, would you say these are kind of alike or different, these two columns? Okay, they're different. Good. We all agree they're different. How different? Just a little bit or very much?
Very much.
A lot, right? A lot, a lot, a lot. In fact, in many ways, they couldn't be more different. They're almost opposite. Okay, your enemies will defeat you. You'll defeat your enemies. Okay? Financial prosperity. Okay? Persecution and suffering. Okay? Now, if you're studying the Bible with someone and they ask you this question, how do you reconcile these? What would you tell them? 8 years ago, I was studying the Bible with a girl. She wasn't even a believer at the time. Her name is Esther, and she's back with her husband. Before she was a believer, she asked me a question like this. She said, why in the Old Testament does God promise command, shema, but in the New Testament, it's different? How do you answer that question?
Jesus, his interpretation, you know, about the Old Testament, he dips, and so basically he agreed with the Old Testament, but his new interpretation he presented in the New Testament, and that's why even hard time or trouble or suffering, that is a reality, when you're there. Because the world is enemy, I mean, world is their enemy, us, Christian. That's why this kind of thing is coming. Awesome.
Okay. Now, some of you may not have heard that, okay? Okay, so we will... Any other idea? How would you answer this question? Oh, wow! I got an eraser? Okay, does everybody have a sheet? This sheet, it says main point. Okay, don't look at it yet. Okay, now, this question that I'm bringing here today is one of the most controversial questions in Christianity. And how you answer this will determine if you have raise an army and go fight someone. Okay? Like the Catholic Church did. How you answer this question will determine whether you kill someone who does not agree with the Bible, okay, or not. So this question, it's very important. When I was a young Christian, I used to go to a conference called the Bill Gothard Seminar. Have you guys ever gone to the Bill Gothard Conference? And he would teach sometimes from the news, sometimes from the old and old. He'd use some commands, some promises. But I always wondered, especially later, how he chose this command, but not the one right before it, or the one right after it. Okay. So this question is extremely important, especially when you read the Bible, because you don't know what to obey or what God promises. Okay. Now, there are two major answers to this question. How we reconcile these two columns. They are so different. Okay. One of them is the one that is used by what's called Reformed churches, okay? Calvinist churches, okay? And they usually say, but not only those guys, other, I used to believe this myself, even I'm not a Calvinist, okay? But the law has three parts, okay? Civil, ceremonial, and moral. How many of you have heard this? You've heard it, okay? Well, this in many churches, this is in many commentaries, if you go online, this is the major paradigm, okay? And what they say is, Christians don't have to follow this, and we don't have to follow this, but we still have to follow the moral law, okay, of these 613 commands, okay? Everybody understand? Okay. Now, why is this a problem? This paradigm, why is this a problem? Okay? Well, you know what? We're not even going to have to take 2 hours. We're going so fast. Okay? This is a problem for two reasons. Do you know a verse in the Old Testament that says, God says, my law has three parts, civil, ceremonial, and moral. Do you know a verse like that? In the Old Testament or New Testament, okay? There is not, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that's not true, but that's kind of shaky to start off with, okay? Okay, there's a bigger problem, though. Let's say, I don't know how many people are here, maybe 40 or 35, okay? Let's say that all of you are experts in Hebrew, okay? Some are, the back part back there with Stephen and those guys, Jonathan, those guys, they're Jews. They're Jews who know the Old Testament. Up here, these guys are Christians who know the Old Testament, who know Hebrew. All of you are Hebrew experts, okay? Mm-hmm. You sleep with your Hebrew Bible. You know your Hebrew Bible. You know, you think about Hebrew. You don't have a girlfriend or boyfriend because all you think about is Hebrew, okay? So back there, some Jews. You guys are Jews back there. Here's some Christian, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a sheet. It's going to be really long, and it's going to have 613 laws on it. Okay? Now, you guys are experts. Everybody in the world knows you. Do you think, let's say there's 35 people here. How many different classifications will we have? You think you will all agree on every one of these 613 laws? Yeah. Like, for instance, one of these, here it says here, leave crops on the edge of the field, right? Okay, that's the law called the law of gleaning. I grew up on a farm. I can't imagine doing that. But the Jews had to do that. Why? Because it was their way of taking care of foreigners and poor people. Okay, now, is the law of gleaning, is that civil, ceremonial, or moral? It's civil, for sure, because it's talking about the Jewish society and how it should work. But what else? It's moral, because God is concerned about poor people. So you guys would be fighting all day long. You Jewish scholars and you Christian scholars, there would not be two lists that would be the same. And when you read the commentaries, it's very interesting that, to me, that they always say, some people say, this is a moral law, you have to keep this. And another commentator will say, I'm talking about Christian, will say, no, you have to keep this. Okay? So how does this work? Okay? Well, Have you heard of Dallas Theological Seminary?
Yes.
Okay. It, in my opinion, probably it's the best seminary in the United States.
Okay.
It's a very conservative seminary, and a lot of my, the guy who led me to Jesus 47 years ago, he went there. Okay. And he's a very, he's like Reiko, he's a strong believer. Okay. Now, so they, their paradigm is one that I think is more biblical. Okay. Now, what is this paradigm? Okay. Okay, the question, the real question is this command or promise associated with the old covenant or the new covenant, basically? Mm. That's the question, okay? So I'm going to read here the main point. Okay, are you ready? It says main point, second, it's all work here. Okay. During the time of the nation of Israel, does everybody have one, by the way? Good. God established an institution on earth that expressed his glory and some features of his coming kingdom. It had physical expressions such as boundaries, a temple, etc., and involved almost only the Jews. In this age of grace, the age of the church, God has a different purpose and is showing different aspects of his kingdom, which includes people from all cultural or ethnic groups on earth. Because, I'm sorry, I'm having allergies. Anybody else have trouble with allergies?
Do you need water?
I need a new body more than anything. Thank you. Okay, because God had different purposes for Israel and the church, he has not given the same commands or promises to them. As David Platt has said in The Gospel, Possessions, and Prosperity, all of the Old Testament law is still the word of God for us, even though it is not the command of God to us. Okay? Now we'll talk about more about that after about 1:30, but okay. So let's read these verses, okay? I'll read them in English and then somebody can read them in Japanese. Okay, Romans 6:14. By the way, if you unglue your bulletin, the verses are there. Okay. It says Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be your master because you're not under law, but under grace. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not under, but we're under.
Mm-hmm.
What are we not under? We're not under law, but we're under grace. Okay? We're followers of Jesus. Okay? By the way, when was the old covenant given? And to whom? The old covenant. This thing right here.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it given to and when?
Moses during the wandering, or the early period of wandering.
Okay. The, okay. When? Okay. When was the new covenant given and to whom?
To Christian.
Where does the new covenant show up in the first place in the Bible, and to whom is God speaking?
Disciples?
The disciples?
By Jesus.
Okay.
Okay,
it surprised me many, many years ago, when I first was doing this study, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, that the new covenant was shows up first in Jeremiah 31:31. Okay? And God is speaking to the Jews. Okay? So if you were to read, we don't have time, but if we read Jeremiah 31:31, we would see God says, I will give you a new covenant. I will put this law in your heart. Okay? So the new covenant is for the Jews, but it's also for us non-Jews. Okay? So we should never think, I mean, it's normal. We all thought the new covenant comes along with Jesus. Long, long, long before that. Okay. Now, let's see. Did we read Romans 6:14 in Japanese? Does somebody want to read that? Kamau, you have that?
I can read.
Okay, thank you.
というのは、罪はあなた方を支配することがないからです。なぜならあなた方は律法の下にはなく、恵みの下にあるからです。
Thank you very much. Amazing. Okay. Okay, now let's look at Romans 7:1-6. Who wants to read that in English? Tom, can you read that for us?
Sure.
And then we'll read that in Japanese.
Okay. Do you not know, brother, for I was speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we were both bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Okay, can you read that in Japanese? I want to hear it some more.
それとも兄弟たち、あなた方は律法が人に対して権限を持つのはその人の生きている期間だけだということを知らないのですか。私は律法を知っている人々に言っているのです。夫のある女は夫が生きている間は律法によって夫は結ばれています。しかし夫が死ねば夫に関する律法から解放されます。ですから夫が生きている間に他の男に行けば姦淫の女と呼ばれるのですが、夫が死ねば律法から解放されており、たとえ他の男に行っても姦淫の女ではありません。私の兄弟たちよ、それと同じようにあなた方もキリストの体によって律法に対しては死んでいるのです。それはあなた方が他の人、すなわち死者の中からよみがえった方と結ばれて神のために身を結ぶようになるためです。私たちが肉にあった時は律法による数々の罪の欲情が私たちの体の中に働いていて、死のために身を結びました。しかし今は私たちは自分を捉えていた律法に対して死んだので、それから解放されて、その結果古い文字にはよらず新しい御霊によって使えているのです。
Thank you. You know, I see you almost every day on campus.
You see me.
Her building is one block from where I meet students. Yeah, almost every day. Okay, so this is talking about one woman and two men. Okay. So this is the woman, by the way, and this is the two men. Good. Okay, now, this first husband, what happens?
He dies.
Okay? And she remarries the second husband, right? Okay, but this is a metaphor, right? This is figurative speech. Okay? This first husband represents what?
The law.
Okay? The law. The second husband represents
grace.
So as followers of Jesus, we have died to the law. We are under a different covenant. We are on the right side of your chart. Okay? Even if we're Jews, even though Jews could still follow the law if they wanted. Okay. So this is kind of important. Okay? This is who we are now. Okay? We're married to grace. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Turn your sheet over. Oh my goodness. Okay, conclusion. When a Christian reads the Old Testament, he or she should be careful to think about the differences between the commands and promises given to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament given to Gentile followers of Christ. Sometimes the New Testament restates and adds to an Old Testament principle. Example, do not murder becomes, don't even have unrighteous anger. It adds, Jesus adds stuff. Okay? But sometimes it means the New Testament simply does not restate the command. Example, the Sabbath or the tithe. Okay? If a promise is not restated again in the New Testament, be careful about claiming it in your life. If one is not careful and does not keep this difference in mind, he or she might come to the opposite conclusion of what God is actually teaching. For example, the nation of Israel was promised protection and prosperity for obedience, while a New Testament believer is promised persecution and suffering for obedience. Okay? So, here's the bottom. Oh, let me read the next paragraph, okay? The New Testament carried forward the major principles. This is a quote, by the way, from Craig Bloomberg in a very good book. It says, the New Testament carried forward the major principles of the Old Testament with one conspicuous omission. Never was material wealth promised as a guaranteed reward for either spiritual obedience or simple hard work. You may work hard and still be poor. It is not promised in the New Testament, period. Okay? Material reward for piety means, how do you do piety? What is piety? Being a holy person, one who obeys Jesus and follows the Bible. Okay? Material reward for piety never reappears in Jesus' teaching and is explicitly contradicted throughout. Okay? So here's the key. If this command or promise is not repeated in the New Testament, be careful. Now, of course, you can claim anything you want in the whole Bible, but that doesn't mean God's going to give that to you. And it doesn't mean you have to obey it if you just see it in the Old Testament. Okay? So if it's not repeated in the New Testament, it's not for us. Okay? Okay. We'll talk more about that in a second. But that's kind of the general thing. Okay. Now let's go back to our test, which you guys did so poorly on. Okay, here we go. Number one, in the Old Testament, financial prosperity was promised to the nation of Israel for obedience again and again and again and again, right? Okay. A, in the New Testament, is financial prosperity promised to Christians for obedience? And the answer is yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, anybody want to say yes?
Yes.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Absolutely wrong. Okay, B, does the New Testament view financial prosperity as a blessing? And you were kind of split on this, yes and no. Okay? And the reason is the New Testament is like our modern politician. It's both. Sometimes the New Testament talks about money as a blessing, but sometimes it says it's a curse. And it says, like Jesus said, the worries of this world, deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in and choke the word and cause it to be unfruitful. He's talking about money. He's talking about houses and cars and PhDs and financial prosperity. That will choke you. It is a curse. So it depends on... Oh, sorry, if you have a PhD, I'm sorry. I've just offended all of the PhDs in here. Okay. But anything can be an idol, including money and a PhD. Okay. So you PhD guys. Okay. So how did the money get to you? How did you get it? And how does it affect you? That's probably the more important question. Not just money, yes or no. Okay? And the Bible is, the New Testament is ambivalent about that, or means that the New Testament is not one side or the other. More like both. But it can become an idol, and for most people, it's an idol. Okay? Okay, two. You guys all got this right. Okay, the temple in the Old Testament, the New Testament equivalent of that temple is what? Our body. Our body. Your body, if you're a believer, is the temple of God. Okay? Or another in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 that uses temple to mean a group of believers. So either a group of believers or an individual believer. Okay. But you all got that right. Okay. Okay, number three. Now, Christian armies left Europe to regain land for God during the Crusades, possibly justified the acts of God. Now, is there a place in the Bible where God tells people, go fight these people and take this land?
Yeah.
Yeah, where is that? Yeah, but is that in the Bible or not? Okay, but is it in the Old Testament or New Testament?
Old Testament.
But is it in the Bible? So, can you justify that from the Bible? Yes. But most of you read this question, you read it, is it possible to justify his actions from the New Testament? That's a trick question, I admit. Okay. Same thing on number four. Okay. Is it possible to justify killing false teachers? If I stand up here today and say there's two gods, the greater God, Jehovah, and the lesser God, Jesus. That's the Jehovah's Witness. If I stand up here and do that, should those guys grab big stones and start throwing them at me until I'm dead?
But that would be considered work on a Sabbath, so you couldn't do that.
Yeah. That's true. So yet, wait till tomorrow to kill me. Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, you are supposed to stone to death a false teacher, right?
Right.
But in the New Testament, what's the worst thing we can do to a false teacher? We can say, sayonara, matane, right? Okay, saichin, right? Go out the door and don't come back. That's all we can do. Okay, we can't throw stones at him. We can't do anything like that. Okay, and we can expose their false teaching. Okay, like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. Okay, so that these are trick questions. Okay, but the Roman Catholic Church for many years took armies to the Middle East, killing Christians, Jews, and Muslims in the name of Jesus. On their shield, they had a cross. They had a cross. And they were killing. Why? How could they come to that conclusion? To go and kill people in the name of Jesus? Because they were getting their theology from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They never studied this. Mm-hmm. Okay?
You know, John, that still haunts us to this day, hasn't it? You still fight through that. What was it, 1200 or 1300 AD, when it really took place?
If you meet a Muslim, you're absolutely right, Tom. If you meet a Muslim today, the Crusades for him and his family and his culture happened yesterday. Mm. Yesterday. Mm. Ask anybody who's around Muslims, and you try to talk to them about Jesus, the first thing they're usually going to talk about, or at least think about, is the Crusades. Mm. Christians came and killed my great-great-great-grandfather. Okay, Christian. Okay, now it's going to get juicy, and we have about an hour and 50 minutes. Okay, do Christians have to obey the Ten Commandments? Now, most of us said yes. Do you want to change your vote? Okay, let's vote again. Do Christians have to obey the Ten Commandments? How many people say yes? Okay, now if you say yes, one of the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath.
Oh, right. I see.
Okay? Now, there's at least three of you who raised your hand. Now, were you here yesterday for a service? Did you come did you stop all your work on Friday at sundown? And did you come here someday yesterday for a service? Did you do that? Uh-oh. You didn't keep the Sabbath. You did not keep the Sabbath. Okay? I bet all of us worked yesterday. Well, some of us may not. We went hiking, but you know. Okay? So do Christians have to keep the Sabbath? Do we? Do you know there's a church, which I'm not sure if they're Christians or not, but they're called the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay? Now, if you go follow those guys, I was in a Seventh-day Adventist missionary's home in Sri Lanka, close to Matthew's home, on a Friday afternoon about 3 o'clock, and all of a sudden, things just went crazy. They went to the market and took me with them and bought all the stuff, and then when the sun went down, they just stopped, okay? And they had a big meal, which was really good. And you know who had to work? Their poor servants. These poor servants, these Sri Lankan servants, they had to work like crazy. But these foreign missionaries just sat there and did nothing, right? Because it's the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? But anyhow, they believe in the Sabbath. They follow the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. If you say we have to keep the Ten Commandments, I'm going to tell Aki and Tom and you know Phil, we need to change the meeting time here to Saturday morning, mm-hmm. Okay? So you guys who raised your hand saying we have to keep the Ten Commandments, you need to come here next Saturday. We're going to have a new JCCT, okay? Okay. Now, if you, okay, okay. We have time for questions from 1 to 1:30. Okay. Do Christians have to tithe? How many people say yes now? Now, this question does not say, do Christians have to give? Okay, let me ask this. Do Christians have to give?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody says yes, right? But do we have to tithe? Is God saying, okay, Junko, you did not give me 1/10 of your money, and I am angry with you. Okay? Or, where do we find the New Testament teaching on giving? Is it 2 Corinthians 9? 2 Corinthians 8. Actually, it's two whole chapters.
Eight
and nine. Two whole chapters are talking about giving. Okay, yeah. But the principle is give as much as you want and give more and more and more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
not
you
out
get
of guilt.
Say again.
Not out of guilt.
Not out of guilt. God doesn't want you to take. Here comes the where'd that sack go? Okay, here comes the sack and you go, oh shoot. You put some money in there and God says, oh man, finally, ping gay. Okay. You know? God says, keep your money. I don't need your money. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. Okay? Why should you give? For your benefit, okay? And the benefit of people around you. Okay? So do we have to tithe? Absolutely not. Why? Because many of us are rich. Okay, first of all, how many of us are rich? If you're rich, raise your hand. And I'm raising my hand. Raise your hand. If you're rich.
What?
I'm talking about money.
Not necessarily. That's not all that counts.
Okay. How many of us are rich? Okay. Okay. You know, when you ask that question, you know what people think? They compare themselves to who? Bill Gates. Steve Jobs.
Warren Buffett.
Okay, but think about this. If you were to fly around the world, especially through Asia, in the 1040 window where most people live, okay, compare yourself with all those people in the world. Just go to Mexico. Go to Hermosillo, where my roommate goes all the time. Go to Hermosillo and live there for a few days. Or go to almost any place in the world. Okay? Compare yourself with those people. Or all the people who have ever lived on this planet. Okay, now, here we go. Do you have a car or can you ride in a car? Okay, Tom drives a car. I mean, he's a Uber driver, right? Or is it Lyft?
Uber.
Okay. So you have a car or access to a car. Do you have more than 6 grades of education? Anybody in here only have 6 grades? My father only had 6 grades. Anybody here have more than 6 grades? Yeah. Do you have more than one set of clothes? Or is this the only dress you have, the only shirt? Do you have more than one set of shoes? You know, when I lived in India, there are lots of people with no shoes. I knew people had no shoes. Their feet were about that wide. If you don't wear shoes all your life, your feet are going to be wide. I'd look at their feet, I couldn't believe it, because they didn't wear shoes all their life. Okay. Do you have more than one pair of shoes? Do you have a computer? Do you have a cell phone? Of course. I'm the only one here that doesn't have a cell phone on me today. Anybody here not have a cell phone besides me? Okay. Do you have medical care? If you get sick, can you be treated? Okay. Do you have dental care? Don't worry. You have it, even if you don't know it. Okay, now let's go back to my question. Are you rich?
Yes.
Is anybody here not rich?
No.
That's right. All of us are rich. Is it wrong to be rich? No, because it's neither good nor bad. Okay, but if you're rich, if God has a hold of your money, He can use it in a great way. I hope all of us... I know, it was here before. Okay, so I hope all of us are giving more than 10%. You give 10%, in this group we give 10%, God will probably be unhappy because you're not giving enough. If anything, He'd probably advise you to give more. Okay, let's talk about tithing. Our principle is, if it's repeated in the New Testament, okay, then it's for us, if it's for believers in Jesus. Now look at Matthew 23:23. Somebody read that. We're going to finish by 12:30. Is that okay?
Cool.
Are you guys bored?
No.
Anybody sleepy? Just snore. Give us some background. Okay, Matthew 23:23. Okay, here we go.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you give a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you ought to have done without neglecting the others.
Okay.
忌ましいものだ。偽善の律法学者、パリサイ人たち、あなた方はハッカ、イノンド、クミンなどの十分の一を納めているが、律法の中ではるかに重要なもの、すなわち正義も憐れみも誠実も愚かにしているのです。これこそしなければならないことです。ただし他の方もおろそかにしてはいけません。
Okay, now, in this passage is Jesus telling this man.To tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But who is he talking to? Is this guy a follower of Jesus?
No.
He's a Jew.
Yes.
Is tithing for Jews?
Yes.
Okay, this is one of the only examples in the New Testament where something is repeated from the Old Testament. Okay, but it's not for us. We are not Jews. Okay. So if Jesus, by the way, had told him not to tithe,Jesus would have been a heretic, and he would have been stoned. He would have been a false teacher. Okay, number seven. Is it morally okay for a Christian to get a tattoo? Can you get a tattoo?
Yes.
Okay, how many people think a Christian, God is okay with a Christian to get a tattoo? You guys. Okay.So you think God says don't get a tattoo to Christians? Where is that found in the New Testament?
For Japanese people, it's always gang has tattoo. So the Christian
or the yeah. What do you call the what do you call the
sleeve.
Gang member, huh? Yakuza. Okay, those guys have tattoos.
Yes.
Okay.Okay, here's the way I like to think about this. Okay, this says moral. Is it moral? Means is God okay if you get a tattoo? If you're a Christian, is God okay for you to get a tattoo? He's fine. He is not saying don't get a tattoo. Okay, morally, it's wrong. It is not wrong. I know some people in this room who have tattoos. It's not wrong. Okay? Okay, very pretty. Okay, now, but there's another question for Christians. Okay, is it wise...Now, is it wise to get a tattoo? Well, you have to make that decision. I can't make that for you. That's between you and God. Now, I personally, I've read many articles. The ink they use in tattoos is always toxic. Okay? If you get a tattoo, you may compromise your immune system. You will probably have immune system problems till the day you die. You'll probably die from that. Okay? So is it wise? In my opinion, if you get a great big...Have you ever seen the scary man? Do you know the scary man?
Yeah.
I was getting copies down here, and there was a guy, he's all tattooed. They say his whole body is tattooed, okay? I mean, his face, when you look at his face, you don't see a face. You just see two eyes coming out of some tattoos. I'm standing here, and I looked at him, and he's huge.He's much bigger than I am, not that I'm that big, but he's huge. And he's so scary, like, so they call him. And he's been in the newspaper at least once. Okay? When I look at him, I think, your immune system is going to be, if you're not already suffering, you're probably going to. Okay? So is it wise? Well, I know somebody has Galatians 2:20 on their back. A policeman, a Christian policeman in San Diego. Well, that's okay, you know.That's not much ink, okay? But maybe it's not wise culturally. You know, used to, in this country, if you had a tattoo, people thought you were a criminal. Or you were some guy who got out of the Navy, and you'd been overseas, drinking and chasing girls and getting tattoos at other places like Bangkok, Thailand. Okay, so it would be very unwise at that time to get it. Now, who knows? Okay, number eight. Okay, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? Yes or no? Everybody says, you guys got this right. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath?
No.
By the way, is this a tabernacle? You hear pastors all the time talk about a church as a sanctuary tabernacle. These are Old Testament words that have nothing to do with Christianity, with following Jesus. Okay? B, do Christians have to meet on the first day of the week? No. No, we don't have time to look at the... There's only two verses that seem to indicate why that might be true. One is Acts 20 and one is 1 Corinthians 16. Neither of them... The first one is not a command. It's just a historical recounting of a guy who falls out of a window. They're meeting and they're meeting all night long. But it is not a command. The second is 1 Corinthians 16. It is a command, but it's only to a certain group of people at a certain time in history. So we don't have time. I'm sorry to look at that. I have one more question. It's almost 12:30. Okay? You've been very good. Are you bored yet? Anybody sleepy? Ping? You okay? Okay. So should we read the Old Testament?
Of course.
No, I don't think so. You know, one of my favorite Indian Christians, I mean, Matthews is one of my favorite Indian Christians, but another one, his name is Sadhu Sundar Singh, and he was a wild man for Jesus. However, he never, ever read the Old Testament, and he never carried the Old. He only read and carried the New Testament. Okay? I don't know which is better, which is worse, that or taking all your instructions and promises from the Old Testament. But should we read the Old Testament? I think not. No, let's don't read that thing. It's too big anyhow. The New Testament's small and light. And okay, should we read the Old Testament?
Yes. Yes.
For commands and promises? No. It tells stuff about God that the New Testament never mentions. For instance, the Old Testament, God says, I hate divorce. Does he say that in the New Testament? Nope, he doesn't, okay? You know, God, there's so much about God. History, all that history, it's not in the New Testament, most of it. It's referred to, but in the Old Testament, you see it. There are all kinds of positive and negative examples. People who did the right thing or wrong thing, you know? The Old Testament is a great book, okay? Just be careful when you find commands or promises, and you ask, if you see a command, or a promise, do I have to follow this command, or is this promise for me? And then you go to look in the New Testament, find that thing there, okay? Okay? Okay, that's the paradigm from Dallas Seminary. I like that. I think it's more usable, more understandable, and more biblical. You don't have to agree with me, okay? I could be wrong. It'd be the third time today, right, Tamal? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and thank you for all the wisdom it gives us, all the guidance. Help us to, when we read it, to obey what's really for us and to claim from your hand what's really for us and to be really careful about taking things from the Old Testament. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Thank you. You've been very good. Sorry it took you so long.